morning to take your Bible, please, with me, and open, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. This morning marks for us a new year in life and ministry as a church. The events of 2010 are now behind us. 2011 lies before us, a new year with new opportunities and new challenges. You know, there's no time quite like the new year. Something exciting about New Year's. It's a wonderful thing to consider, a new, fresh start and an opportunity. And I really believe that New Year's ought to be a time that is exciting for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our past with all of our failures is now behind us. Sin is forgiven. It's under the blood. We have new opportunities that lie before us. We can embrace this new year, and all things can truly become new. That's one of the wonderful truths about the Christian life, that God is able to make all things new. Perhaps no one understood this as well as the Apostle Peter. You know, there was no character quite like Peter in the Bible. He was bold, he was brash, he was headstrong, yet he was a man who had a unique insight. He was full of insight, and he was truly committed to the cause of Christ. Peter was a man of extreme highs and extreme lows. Probably no greater low in Peter's life than the low that he experienced after his denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet Peter would soon learn of the wonderful grace of God, as the Lord Jesus Christ would come alongside of Peter and restore him to fellowship. And as he restored him to fellowship, he restored him also to service. It would be Peter who would usher in the new church age, that age which is marked by the grace of God on the day of Pentecost. Peter was now writing to Christians, enduring difficult days, suffering. Many were considering if this Christianity was worth it, if serving God and giving my life to Him was really worth all that we're going through. In his first epistle, Peter would remind them of their blessing and how that blessing came to them and was made possible by the blood of Jesus Christ. He would then go on and teach them how they ought to live in the midst of their suffering. And he recalls to them the wonderful truth that those who serve the Lord and those who give their lives for Him, God is a rewarder of all those who are faithful. And as Peter would close his letter, he gives to them a final thought, a final challenge. And that's the thought that I want us to consider this morning. I want you to follow along as I read verses 10 and 11 of 1 Peter chapter 5, and then we'll bow and ask the Lord's blessing. Peter writes as he closes his letter and says, "But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we do ask that you would give to us the understanding that comes from thy word. We thank you for the word of God, which is true. We thank you for the Spirit of God who takes that word and works it within our heart. Now, Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would have liberty to move among us today and to teach us, that we would understand those things that we need as we look to a new year. Lord, what a blessing it is to know that as a Christian, all things can become new. Jesus Christ gives us a new beginning when we're saved. And our God is a God of new beginnings. When we stumble, when we fall, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Lord, we ask and pray that as we look to the new year, that you would help us to see your desire for us as a people. And we'll thank you, Lord, and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the last 2 years, I have kept before us a verse that I believe the Lord had me to understand as we first came to serve here as your pastor. That was found in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. That verse reminds us that we are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. It's been my desire over the last 2 years that we as a church would grow together in a greater love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we grew in love for Him, that we would be, as the Bible says, constrained for greater service for Him. I believe it's a wonderful opportunity as we gather together each and every week, as we gather around the Word of God, we have an opportunity to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity to meet with Him. We have the opportunity to learn of Him and learn of His Word, and the Spirit of God can be our teacher. And as we grow in greater love for Him, as we should, the reality is it will be expressed in a greater desire for us to serve Him. This morning I want to begin to lay the groundwork for what I believe the Lord would have for us in the coming year. It's a theme we're going to develop a little more fully even in our evening service tonight. But Peter knew the challenges that the people of God were facing. And what Peter desired for them is that they would ascend to greater heights in their lives spiritually through the trials that they were facing. And I believe that God would have you and I do the very same. God would have for us to ascend to greater heights in the coming year. This morning, as we come to the text before us, I want us to see three things that are going to help us in this coming year. Peter writes, and as he closes this letter to the churches there to whom he is writing, those who have been scattered abroad through persecution, reminds them, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. If you and I are going to be able to ascend to greater heights for the Lord in the coming years, in the coming days of our lives, then we must first acknowledge the work of God in our lives. It is a wonderful truth that God is at work within the lives of His people. Do you know, God is not content that you and I remain the same as we were in 2010. God is not content for you to stay where you were. God is not a God of the status quo. There's a lot of folks that are happy with the status quo. We just like things to be the way they've always been. Let's not stir the pot. Let's not do anything different. But our God is not a God of the status quo. He is not content that you and I remain who we are. He desires that you and I would always be growing. That you and I would always be excelling. That we would be ascending to greater heights. Your life and my life as a Christian is not to be lived on the plateaus. We are to be ever climbing the mountains for God. We are to ever be growing and ascending for Him. And as you and I begin to look to the year ahead, I want us to understand that God is not satisfied with the status quo for First Baptist Church. He wants us to ascend. He wants us to go on to greater heights. And if we're going to get there, then you and I have to acknowledge that God is working in our lives. Peter shares with the people of God four things that God wants to do. Four things that He desired for them. And I want you to see those with me this morning. As we seek to acknowledge the work of God in our lives, I want you to see what God wants to do. First of all, Peter says in verse 10 that He would make you perfect. God desires to do the work of making us perfect. That's the first blessing that Peter wished for the people of God. That they would know the perfecting work of God within their life. Now, when we often see that word in our Bible, we think of that and we understand it to mean to make mature. And often that's what it means. But that's not what it means here. This word, was also used in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12 when it speaks of the pastor, the teacher, and those gifts given, the evangelists given to the local church. They were given that they might perfect the saints to do the work of the ministry. It is also used in your New Testament to speak of a fisherman that would mend the nets. He would mend the holes in the nets to make the net useful in fishing. To throw out a net that had holes in it really wasn't of any value because you weren't going to catch as many fish. The word here to perfect or to make perfect means to fit or to join together. Kenneth Wiest, who is a Greek scholar, says that the predominating idea in this verb is adjustment. The putting of parts into right relationship and connection with one another. God desires in the year to come to mend our nets, to perfect us, to fit us together, to join us together, that we would be more useful in His service. God wants to make us perfect. He wants to make us useful for Him. That thought that God would work within us to make us more usable ought to really be a blessed thought within our mind. That God would desire to do a perfecting work. What a blessing it is to see that God desires to make us vessels fit for His use and for His honor. Now, as I look to the year ahead, it's my desire that the Lord would be pleased to use us as a church, to make us perfect, to make us more usable, that souls would come into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That those who are weak in the faith would be strengthened and made strong. That those who have the feeble knees would no longer be cast down, but instead be lifted up. That we as a church would be used to be a blessing again to the churches even here in Newfoundland. That they would realize the wonderful blessing of being self-supporting. You know, that ought to be our goal and desire for each and every one. It ought to be our goal and desire that each and every one one day would call us and say, you know what, we don't need your support anymore. God has been supplying. Folks are getting saved or being added to the church. We are growing and we're now able to support ourselves. That's our goal. That ought to be our prayer. And we ought to be aiding them on in that. We as a church ought to be made more useful for the honor and glory of God in the year to come. He desires to make us perfect. We're going to ascend to the greater heights for the Lord. We need to be willing to allow the Lord to do that work. I want to point out to you a truth very quickly. We're going to touch on it more in just a moment. But these four things that God wants to do come after that we have suffered a while. You and I have to be willing to allow God to do that work within us. That perfecting work is not always an easy work. That mending work and that fitting together may require some molding and some shaping. It may require some removing within our lives of those things which don't belong, that we might be made more useful for the Lord. But Peter says, my wish, my desire, my prayer for you is that God would make you perfect. But he goes on. That he would establish you. Not only does God need to do his perfecting work, but God also wants to do an establishing work in our lives if we're going to go on for greater heights for the Lord. That word to establish means to be steadfast. It means to be on a solid foundation. You know, the world in which you and I lived is a world that is filled with great uncertainties. The Bible would often say that we live in a world that is filled with many winds and waves of doctrine. There are many things which seek to destroy and to take away our solid foundation, that we would no longer be established or fixed or firm. And God wants to do a work that would establish us, that would allow us to be steadfast and to be on that solid foundation. You know, Peter reminds us in verse 8 and 9 that we're to be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We are told, therefore, to resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in the brethren that are in the world. Now, you and I have an enemy, the devil, who seeks to destroy. He and his legions of angels, those demons, desire to keep us from being firmly grounded and steadfast. They seek that we might be destroyed. Yet there's a wonderful truth that we serve a God of all grace. And that God of all grace is able to supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. The Apostle John would tell us that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And as we look to the year ahead, it ought to be our prayer and desire that we would have a faith that would be fixed and firmly grounded upon His Word. Now, you and I don't know what 2011 holds for us, do we? We always come into the new year expecting all the blessings that are going to flow. And by the way, we receive many a blessing. Even in our hardships, there are blessings for us if we will learn to look for them. But the reality is, none of us come into the new year believing that trials and difficulties will come. We expect blessings and a great year. We're going to have health this year. We're going to have prosperity this year. But you and I don't know what 2011 will hold. Things can change in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, everything can change for you and me. We may have a year filled with trial and hardship and heartache. But we need to be a people who are established, who are fixed, and who are grounded and rooted in Christ. And we have to be willing to allow the Lord to do that work within us and acknowledge that He wants to. Peter goes on and says that He would make you strengthened. There's a work of God to make us strong. Strong so that nothing would be able to overtake us. God has called you and I to fight in His army. We are to be good soldiers of the Lord. But you and I cannot be good soldiers if we are weak and unable to participate in the battles. There's a need for vigor. There's a need for strength so that the work of the Lord might be fulfilled. That God would make us strong in the Lord. God has provided for you and I the wonderful blessing of His armor. But armor doesn't do well for a guy who can't carry the armor around. If you're too weak to even use the armor, then it really is of no value to you. But God is able to do a work within our life that we might be made strong. Have you ever made a comment like this? I just have so much to do. I just don't have the energy to do it. You ever feel like that? There's so much to be done. I just don't have the energy to get it all done. You know, there are some folks that in their Christian life, that's really where they live. Oh, we know what we need to do for the Lord. We know how we should be living. We know how we ought to be serving. I just don't have the energy to serve God. You know, God needs to make us strong that we might be able to fulfill and do the work. We need men and women today who a spiritual strength and the fortitude to do the work that God has called us to. There's a fourth thought, though, that Peter desired, and that is that God would make us settled. The idea that is presented to us here is that the people of God would not vacillate in their beliefs. Charles Spurgeon said that the tree which should be transplanted every week should soon die. Some Christians live that way. Every week there's a new idea that they hear, and that's a new belief that they hold. They're not settled. They're not fixed. And Peter said that I would have the people of God to be settled. That we would know what we believe, and we would hold to it. Even though the world may present to us many other winds of doctrine, but the reality is we need to be like that tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatsoever we do prospers. We need to be settled. And God desires to do a work that will settle us in our beliefs and in our faith, that we not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, that we would be able to judge all things by the word of God and see if they be so settled. God would have us to be settled, to be fixed in understanding what he desires. Now, if you and I want to ascend to new heights for the Lord in the upcoming year, we have to acknowledge that God wants to do a work within our life, and we have to allow him to do that work. But we also have to do a second thing, and it's an important one. And that is, you and I must accept the avenue of God. We must acknowledge the work of God, but we have to also accept the avenue of God's work. I want to bring you back to again what it says in verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Folks, God is going to do a work within our lives. He desires to do that work. And you and I, if we're going to reach to the greater heights for the Lord, can't just acknowledge that God's at work. We must accept the avenue of growth that he has chosen. And Peter reminds us that this is accomplished often through suffering. After ye have suffered a while, God would perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now, we all often associate good with suffering. We consider suffering always to be evil and of no value. At least spiritually, we consider that. But you know, the reality is, we don't carry that over into life. We do understand that there is a need for suffering, and that suffering is good in order that we might be perfected, in order that we might be established and strengthened and settled. I want you to consider a few things with me from the natural world that we understand suffering as a good thing. I want you to consider, first of all, with me, the athlete. We understand that for the athlete, suffering is a good thing. It makes them better equipped in their sport in order that they might reach the ultimate goal. We understand that, right? Athletes suffer. They give up certain pleasures and they endure pain of training. For what purpose? That they might achieve the highest rank within their sport, that they might be known as number one. An Olympic athlete will give up everything of their life. They will train and train all the days of their life. They will go without sleep. They will go without certain pleasures of food. And they will give all of their time for training. For what purpose? A gold medal. So that their name can go down in the history book as the greatest swimmer, the greatest sprinter, the greatest skier, the greatest skater. Hockey players give up much of their life so they can win the championship at the end of the year, the gold medal. And they suffer for it. Athletes suffer all the time in order to achieve. You spend time and begin a workout program and you're going to realize there is suffering in exercise. But that suffering makes you stronger. That suffering gives you greater endurance that you might be able to continue to run and participate and not quit halfway through the game. We don't have a problem with an athlete suffering because it helps them achieve the higher goal. Believe it or not, students suffer in order that they might gain their education. No, we ask our students to endure difficulties and we put stress on them in life. in order that they might be able to achieve an education and to reach their greatest potential educationally. And any teacher will tell you that they know they are putting stress on the life of their students. And they are. I always remember college years. I remember when it came to exams. And you used to see people walking around like this on campus. I mean, they would run you right over. They had their nose in the book. Why? Because the exam was coming and there was stress. Why? That they might achieve their greatest potential. There's really nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with putting them there to test them and to train them, to help them. You know, we also don't see much problem for professionals to suffer in order to advance in their careers. Some of you go through that on a daily basis. You're in the business world, maybe the medical world, academic world, it really doesn't matter. There is suffering in order to advance in their careers. Most start out at the very bottom. You don't come out of college and start at the top, you start at the bottom. And they're willing to do all the menial tasks in order that they might catch the eye of their boss, in order that they might gain the promotion, and they receive a lot. If you pick up and start a new job, even though you may have achieved some success with one company, you haven't achieved that success with the new company, and you go right back down, but you continue to suffer in order that you might achieve. But yet when it comes to God bringing us through times of suffering, we often balk at such of a thought that God would choose to take us through the avenue of suffering that we might ascend to greater heights for Him. But folks, we need to remember that by suffering we are perfected through trials, and that each of those trials reveals the hole in the net that needs to be mended. Through suffering, the avenue is established for our establishment. For when we suffer, we find the areas that we need to trust the Lord in. By suffering, we are strengthened, for every trial allows us to exercise ourselves unto godliness, that we might be strengthened. But you know, there's a great settling thought, and we dare not forget it as we come to the passage, that although there is a time of suffering for a little while, you and I do not have to face those times alone. But the Bible tells us that it's the God of all grace who hath called us unto His eternal glory that is doing that work through the avenue of suffering. The God of all grace. What a wonderful title given to the Lord. F.B. Meyer, in his commentary in 1 Peter, said, "It's an exceedingly beautiful title, the God of all grace, illuminating grace for the seeker, justifying grace for the believer, comforting grace for the bereaved and sorrowful, strengthening grace for the weak and downtrodden, and sanctifying grace for the unholy, living, dying grace." He continues to say, "Bring hither the pitcher of your need. The grace of God, which is His unmerited love, will conform itself to your special shape and will seem to be just fitted for your requirements." Yes, folks, the avenue might be through the means of suffering that we might be perfected, that we might be strengthened, that we might be established, that we might be settled. But it's the God of all grace who walks us through. If you and I are going to ascend to greater heights with the Lord in the coming year and the years to come, you and I are going to have to acknowledge His work in our lives and accept the avenue that He chooses to bring us to those heights. And whatever He chooses is acceptable. But there's one final thought I want you to see, and it comes out in verse 11. "To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Not only must we acknowledge His work and accept the avenue, but you and I must also award God the glory for everything accomplished within our lives. We must award God the glory. Whatever God does in us or through us, to Him be glory, both now and forever. God should receive all glory for what is accomplished. It is God who works within us to will and do of His good pleasure. He began a work in you and He will complete that work. And whatever God does in you in order to help you to ascend to greater heights for Him, let all glory be brought to Him. For He is the one who is worthy of that. It is God who called us. It is God who justified you, and it is God who sanctifies, and it is God who will glorify us. And we ought to, in turn, be made like His dear Son and give all glory unto Him. Now, you and I should never take the credit for what God has wrought in us. I always look forward to the new year. I always look forward to the new things that God will bring our way, good and bad. I don't mind the challenges as they come because we realize that God is the one who's going to take us through them. And if we would but keep our focus upon Him, and if we understand that our responsibility is to bring all glory unto Him, then that's okay. I think the new year is an exciting time. You know, my prayer for us this year is that each and every one of us would walk closer with the Lord than we ever have before. That we would find ourselves dependent upon our time with Him. For the more we think of Christ, the less we will think of ourselves, the less we will think of our troubles, the less we will think of our trials. My prayer for you this year is that you go on in greater heights for the Lord, that you ascend higher than ever before. It's my prayer for me, for my family, for our church. That God would help us to ascend to greater heights. That we become more and more dependent upon Him. That we would love Him more. That we would continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that we would allow God to do His work in us that we might ascend to greater heights. Because God is not satisfied where you are. God is not a God of the status quo. God expects us to grow. He expects us to ascend even higher for Him. He expects us to continue on. I trust that not a single day would pass this year that we would not come and gaze upon the face of our Savior as He's revealed to us in His Word. You know, every day ought to start with Him. Every day really ought to end with Him, and every day in between ought to be all about Him. Throughout our day, we ought to come and find ourselves in the Garden of Gethsemane there to pray. Every day, we ought to find ourselves to stop by the cross of Calvary and there to gaze at a wonderful Savior. Every day, we ought to find ourselves on top of the Mount of Olives, looking for that day in which He will come again. Every day, we ought to find ourselves involved in and enwrapped in the very Son of God. The more we think of Him, the less we'll think of ourselves. The more we think of Him, the less we'll think of our trials and our troubles. We need to ascend to greater heights for the Lord this year. That was Peter's prayer. That was his desire as he closed this letter. That the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle you, and to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And to that every saint ought to say, Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You today that as we come and as we've started our new year together, we can consider the fact that You as our God desires and wants to do a work within our life. Lord, You want to make us perfect. You want to strengthen. You want to establish us. You want to settle us. Lord, You'll choose the avenue of how that work will be done, and we ought to be willing to accept such an avenue. If that will require suffering, let it be so. For Lord, in all those things, You'll perfect us through our trials and through our troubles. Lord, we have to let You do that work, even as James would say, that we would allow that work to perfect us and to make us perfect again. Lord, I ask and pray that you would help each and every one here today. Lord, we would not be satisfied with the status quo of our Christianity. That we would not feel that in some way we have reached the pinnacle, the peak of our spiritual walk in life. That not one of us would say, I'm happy here on the plateau. That we would understand there's other heights still yet to ascend. There is higher ground. Lord, I pray that you would give us a vision and a burden, a desire to reach that ground for you. And as we do, and as you work in us and through us, may all glory be brought unto your name. And we'll thank you, Lord, and praise you for it. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I want to just be able to ask you two things. Number one, if you're here today and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, what's your plans for the new year? We were challenged well New Year's Eve by Pastor Stansford that if you're going to reach your destination, you got to choose a direction. You got to make a choice. What choices are you making for this new year? This new year is very new. It's only our second day of this year. But now as we get underway and we get started in this new year, we ought to start right. What choices are you making for this year? Have you said within your own heart, you know what, I think 2010 went pretty well. I'm just going to stay where I was. If not, I want you to know God's not satisfied there. He wants you to go on to higher ground. I pray this year that you as a Christian would see and understand that God wants you to love Him more. There's areas for you to grow. You have not reached the pinnacle. You have not yet obtained. You are not already perfect. There is room for our growth, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Will you let God do that work? Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't know Him as the Redeemer. No, it's our prayer for you today that the day would be the day of your salvation. In order to be saved, you need to understand there's no fee required. There's no preparation that is necessary. The Bible says that you can come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says you'll be saved. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, we want you to know the blessing of salvation. God wants to do a work in your life and work in your heart. He wants to bring you to Christ. If you're here today without Christ, why not run to Him today and know that blessing that He can afford unto you. Our Heavenly Father, we ask and pray today that you would bless us in this new year. And Lord, I do pray if there's one here today who knows not Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that their new year would begin with a new life in Christ. A life abundant and free. A life set free from sin and its bondage. And a life fully surrendered and given over to the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves them with an everlasting love. Lord, I pray for all of us who are Christians here today, that we will look to the new year, we have new goals and new aspirations and new desires, not just for the physical world, but Lord, for the spiritual realm, for the spiritual world, that we would go on to greater heights for Jesus Christ. Lord, that's going to require some work in us, and we have to be willing to allow that work to be done. And Lord, I pray that all glory truly would be brought into your name. We thank you, Lord, and praise you again for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Tim's going to